Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us today, that you would encourage us today, that you would challenge us today,
that you would help us be more
as we read a hard passage,
Lord, our lives,
that you would open up our eyes and our ears and our minds and our lives, that we might be changed. We thank you, Lord, for your scriptures. We thank you for your word. We pray that we would follow it better.
We ask that you would help us.
We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Not just
Amen.
These words, but
the story goes something like this. When I was 11 and my brother Joe was 15, I was sure he could lift small cars and jump small buildings without breaking a sweat. He was the coolest, toughest, smartest person in my universe, and I wanted to be just like him. About a month before Christmas that year, he said he was ready to give me
the fort. Shook it to get the batteries out.
The fort wasn't just some clubhouse. It was a two-room suite Joe and his friends had built into the upper half of our garage. The floor spanned the width of the garage, had wall-to-wall carpeting, built-in multicolored lights, a mattress, a separately suspended cabinet for the stereo. Joe kept it all locked with a key on a chain around his neck. To my 11-year-old mind, it was the most desirable place on earth, and Joe said he was going to give it to me.
To be warm.
December passed in anticipation as I envisioned the times I'd have in the fort with my friends. Then on Christmas Eve, Joe approached me with a grave expression on his face. With authority in his voice that only big brothers can intone, he told me he had reconsidered his gift and wasn't quite ready to surrender the fort.
Turned
this
on
year.
To put our love
Maybe next
to
year,
work, to apply
said.
Our patience in difficult
I
situations,
felt my world
to let our
crumble.
Light shine.
But I didn't throw a tantrum. I figured it was his fort. He could do with it what
first
he wants. I quietly told him the only thing I could think to
Later
say.
Today, go check your batteries. Go check your flashlights.
Okay.
Make sure those
and
are
I
all
went
working
to bed.
Just in case something
on
happens.
On Christmas
sure
morning, I found a large
you.
Box with my name
More
on the label. When I opened it, I found a smaller box inside. And when I opened the smaller box, a
do we
key
think that we
on a long chain poured into my hand. I looked at Joe and saw him grinning. I was testing you, he said, to see if you were ready to handle it.
And, only for
and you were.
Us. Without remembering that maybe we have
How do
been
you know?
Made for more. Maybe
how do you know when someone's ready? How do you know when you are ready?
Maybe God's power, God's light,
how do you,
God's love
How do you
is
become more mature and how do you know that you have?
Not just to us.
Maybe we could get at this a different way.
Thinking back
through
to
the topic of testing,
flashlight. Isn't it interesting?
What is a test for?
Time,
is the first question, and then maybe more interestingly, who
and less
is a test
enduring.
For?
I mean, they're
the answer to the first question is easy enough.
Energy.
A test helps evaluate one's learning or growth or something like that. The second question, though,
stored.
Is maybe the more helpful. Who is a test? Actually,
what if
for
God's blessings work like that sometimes.
Now, of course, us being in Texas, we know that tests are for schools and districts and
Let
states
me
and funding.
You first where we are.
But I think also
series,
tests are for
what it means
for
to
the
be
teachers,
blessed, and then
to both evaluate the students and themselves and their
blessings.
Teachings. But then,
God was,
of course, also a test is for the students.
But to
both,
what
both as motivation
why?
To study and try to synthesize all that's been learning,
be
that's been learned thus far, and
what
also as a way to evaluate and show how much they've
how
learned and
God
internalized.
To change you
Our passage
and
today
else
is all about a test.
He gives to you.
It's all about a terrible test. And yet
course,
I wonder if within that test,
most of our lives
there's
thinking
a blessing.
About these things. Most of us are just trying to make sure that we
we'll
are
get there in a moment.
Blessed enough. We're just
First,
trying
let
to
me remind you where we're
just
going.
Just trying to keep up.
Today, we come to the end of our series
God
trying to understand what does it mean to be blessed
for a reason
and then what
yourself.
Responsibilities come with those blessings.
So we've been looking at the life of Abraham.
What are we supposed
in order to
learn to
more
do
about blessings?
With
and
those
if you remember,
blessings.
When we started, where
Surely
we started,
God has
Abraham
blessed
kind
us,
of,
but why?
In a pretty hopeless situation.
What are those blessings for? What
God
is God hoping will happen in
God
us through those blessings? And what is God
Abraham,
hoping
will
happen in the world
nation, and
through
I
our
will
blessings?
Bless you. I will make your name great.
What if God has
you
blessed us for a reason,
a
for a purpose?
I will bless those who
Not
bless
just because
you, I will curse those
God's
who
good,
curse you, and all
but also because God's trying
will
to
be
do
through
good.
You.
And so we've been looking at the life of Abraham.
That's God's plan.
Trying to understand blessings better. Abraham, if you remember where we started, so Abraham was kind of in a hopeless situation. And then God shows up.
Will be blessed
and God blesses Abraham. He said something like this, Abraham, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you.
Manifest in his life.
I will make your name great and you will be
Abraham start to
a blessing.
Become changed by these
I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you.
At this point, Abraham has been blessed more and more.
All the peoples on earth will be blessed through
you. Will be a blessing part of
the model seems to be
blessing.
God is going to just pour into Abraham.
How do we send those blessings?
So that Abraham can then pour into everyone else.
Now, when you think about it in your own life,
and as we've seen, that started to happen.
Is relatively easy.
God has been changing Abraham and the surrounding area through those blessings.
Your community, you can think of ways to extend those blessings.
Let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 22.
Today it gets hard.
Genesis chapter 22, verse 1.
Because we extend that circle even more.
We'll just kind of jump right in.
How do we bless people we don't know?
Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you.
Because of course,
early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took him with two of his servants and his son Isaac.
The other.
When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife.
Chapter 18, verse 1.
As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, the fire and wood are here, Isaac said.
Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them,
Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.
He said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not
when they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood.
So that you
then he reached out his hand and took the knife
way,
to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham!
Do as you say.
Here
so
I am,
Abraham hurried into the tent to
do not
Sarah.
Lay a hand
quick,
on the boy,
he said.
Get
three sails
do not do anything to him.
And
now I know
bread.
That you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.
He then brought
Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide.
Then
to this day,
said,
it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided.
Time, next year, and Sarah,
the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a
Sarah
second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord,
him.
That because
Abraham
you have done this and have not
old,
withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you
so Sarah
and make your descendants as numerous
thought,
as the stars in the sky
and
as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed.
For the Lord,
because you have obeyed
me. I will return to you at the appointed
time. Then Abraham
time
returned
year,
to his servants, and they set off for
Sarah
Beersheba.
Afraid,
and Abraham stayed
and
in
said,
Beersheba.
I did not laugh.
Amen.
He said, yes, you did laugh.
In some ways, this is one of the most terrible passages in the whole of the Bible.
We have strangers showing up to Abraham in a strange way.
And in other
way,
ways, this passage sums up all of the hope
this story, we
and the goodness
this is God.
Of the Scriptures.
We see Abraham practicing
I mean, there's nothing,
extreme hospitality.
Almost nothing worse than imagining the death of a child. And even
God
remotely picturing yourself in this story is horrific and grotesque
and,
terrifying.
But as we go
however, we then
this,
also
sure
have to remember that this
Abraham
is what God was and is willing to
three
do for
show
us,
up in the
sacrificing
of the day,
for our good,
well,
which should drive us to our knees
you don't normally,
in repentance and obedience
and worship. And before Abraham even knows who they are, he sees them.
Before we can get to all of that, let's simply begin by talking about some of the uncomfortable issues that this passage brings up. Because our passage begins with God telling Abraham to do something horrible and horrific, to offer his son as a
sacrifice. You do provide food and drink to the stranger.
But it's also essential that we notice how careful the narrator is to tell us right up front, this is only a test.
But you'll notice
because it's crucial that we know ahead of time, that we, the readers, know ahead of time that, of course,
and even though he doesn't
God
know who they
doesn't
are, he
want Abraham to sacrifice
them.
His child.
Even though it's the heat of the day.
Of course,
he honors
God
them by bowing low
this.
Before them. He invites them
in fact, in some ways, this story is God
business.
Actually differentiating himself from the neighboring pagan, lowercase g gods,
and then he
who actually often
speech.
Demand child sacrifices as part of their worship.
Blessing.
This whole region, in fact, was filled with different idol worships where that was actually the norm. This wasn't a cultural strange thing for
Abraham.
This was the norm in this area.
He's just going to go to the pantry and get a, I got a couple of
it was not uncommon.
Let me just grab a little
so if anything, God is showing how God is different.
And the next thing we know, Sarah's breaking,
albeit in kind of a roundabout
way. Five people could possibly eat.
But just
he's
to put even
milk,
more
of
us at ease, God has already told us that the covenant will be fulfilled
barbecue,
through Isaac multiple
quickly,
times.
Most of the, that takes
and
some
so
time.
We know
so
that this isn't
quick,
actually about Isaac yeah. at all. This is about
this isn't
Abraham.
Like, let me grab
this
something
is
out of the fridge
for
and throw it in the microwave really
Abraham.
Fast and I can whip something up here.
And this is for us.
Notice all of this seems to happen.
Which then leads us to the question, so what do we do with this passage?
Who they are.
Maybe more than that, what do we learn about blessing
over the top
through this passage?
This is
terrible
not
passage.
Just being blessed,
what does this have to do with
blessing?
Because remember, over and over again, part of the narrative of Abraham, part of the story of Abraham
so
is you are blessed. I will bless you, and then you will be a blessing.
Verse 16.
How does this test?
When the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?"
Being blessed and being a blessing.
Abraham will surely become a great
and
powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed
through him. And trust is
this
test.
For I have chosen him. So that he will direct his children
and so as we look to
Abraham,
we need to figure out, does he trust enough to let go?
Right? And just.
Does he trust
so
enough
the Lord
to
will
follow?
Bring about for Abraham what he
and does
promised.
He trust God's provision
then
enough
said,
in order to be able to bless
Sodom
others.
And Gomorrah is
if
so
he's
great,
blessed to be a blessing, then the question
so
is, does he trust
that?
That? Does he trust God enough
have done is as bad as the
to let go
that
and to follow?
Him.
Does he trust God's
not,
provision enough in order
know.
To bless others?
The men turned away and went
so
toward
that's where
Sodom,
we're going.
But Abraham remained standing
we,
before
we
the
start
Lord.
With simply that idea that
then
we
Abraham
won't be able to bless others
said,
if we don't trust God enough to let go.
With the wicked.
I mean, for you to be a blessing,
righteous people in the
you
city,
will have to then
really sweep it
surrender
away and not spare
some
the place
of your
for the sake
blessing.
Of the 50
you'll have to be able to
it.
Sacrifice
far be
some
it
of your
you
blessings.
To
you'll
do
have to be able
to
let
to kill
go.
The righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you.
It's easy to be blessed. Those are good sermons. The beginning of the series, fantastic. God, bring them. God will bless you. Yes. Here's how I want it. I want it this way and this way. Here's some different. God, if you need ideas, I have ideas of how you could bless me. That's the good part of this series.
What if the number
then as the series progresses, you get to these. But being a blessing, that's something entirely different.
Five people?
Well, I have this extra stuff I don't really want. I guess I could bless you with
there,
that.
Said,
I'm not going to bless you with the good
destroy.
Stuff, because that's for me.
Again, he spoke to
but
him.
I have this extra
only 40
stuff. This is when this gets
there.
So much harder.
He said, for the sake of 40, I will not do it.
How do we,
and he said, may the Lord
how do we
angry.
Give up our blessings?
Well, let me speak. What if only 30 could be?
Because that requires sacrifice.
He answered, I will
that
not
requires
do
us to lose something.
Abraham
that
said, now that
trust.
I have been so bold as to speak to
in
the
so many
Lord,
ways
what if only
that the action of
found there. He said, for the sake
letting
of 20,
go
I will not destroy.
Feels
then he
so
said,
unnatural.
May the Lord not be angry,
this is
but
easy.
Let me speak just once
that's
more.
Not hard.
What if only 10
but that
be found there?
Letting go of something.
For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it.
It's so unnatural.
When the Lord had finished speaking with
because
Abraham,
we're good at holding
Abraham
tightly to things.
Home.
But releasing blessings, that's so much more difficult. And it's only made worse because we don't believe that there's going to be enough at the end of the day. We don't believe that we will have enough or even be enough.
And they look and see Sodom off in the distance.
Maybe even sometimes
we
don't believe
God
is enough.
And then we find God seeming to struggle
to decide yet we have to sacrifice something in order to bless someone else. Maybe resources, maybe energy, maybe time.
But notice God's reasoning.
And often, as we picture ourselves giving something up like this, we quickly fear that we are going to be the ones that miss out. We're going to be the ones that don't have enough.
And therefore,
which only causes us to cling that much tighter.
It's going to be helpful for Abraham to know.
I wonder if this is what's been happening in our passage behind the scenes.
In other words,
I wonder if Abraham has blessed others, at least a little bit, so now he concludes quite simply, so now the rest is mine. I've done that job. I've blessed some others. Remember that one time I did the thing? That was nice. So now everything else is mine.
He better know how to extend.
More to the point, I wonder if Abraham has been holding on to Isaac.
What's more, it'll be important for Abraham to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just.
Let's recognize that in the chapter before this one, Abraham lost his first son, Ishmael. He was sent off. But now God seems to be asking him to give up his last son.
Clearly, God isn't actually debating.
Another way of looking at this is Abraham has been asked to surrender his past when he was told to leave the land you are in and go to a land I will show you.
So we are given this.
Now he's being asked to surrender his future. As again, he's being asked to go to a land I will show you and offer your child.
Happening in Sodom and Gomorrah.
The promised one.
Isaac. He's God.
And so it's no wonder that Abraham is probably holding on to Isaac a little too tightly. In fact, a couple commentators make out the point that it would have been easy for Abraham to start to see Isaac
so that we and Abraham can recognize that God wants to balance justice and mercy and grace. So that we,
because sometimes we can take our blessings and turn them into the ultimate things. And then they start to take the place of God in our lives.
So that we and Abraham can become the kind of people who better hold.
But by this point, luckily, thankfully, Abraham has been learning how to surrender.
So we can try and figure out how blessed.
He's been learning how God has blessed him. He's been learning how to become a
blessing. As much as we don't like this kind of story in the Bible, because it seems like
God is being extreme in his punishments
and indiscriminate in his smiting.
Because, of course, as we've been talking about, blessings sometimes come with responsibility.
That there aren't even 10.
Because God might be trying to do something in us and through us.
What's more, God knows all of the innocents and the victims that have been.
Which is why it's so important that Abraham is willing to sacrifice even
future
this.
And potential.
But Abraham hasn't only learned to trust God enough to let go, he's also learned how to trust God enough to follow, to be obedient.
And yet this is also a form of graciousness.
God has been forging Abraham's trust into something new and something strong since the beginning.
Conversation. Because God wants
even when Abraham doesn't know what, doesn't know where, doesn't know when, and doesn't know why.
And therefore, God is hoping.
But with that, we also have to recognize that this wasn't the first time Abraham has had to trust in order to be obedient.
You've been blessed.
In fact, maybe part of the reason that this passage is so hard for us to understand is because we always read it all by itself.
People of Sodom and Gomorrah, they are.
Remember that
time. Not a little bit, not kind of, not.
But we miss out on the lifetime of obedience and faithfulness that Abraham has been
walking since the beginning. So, with that as the premise, Abraham.
It's after a lifetime of following that Abraham has learned to be faithful because God is always.
Abraham, you are blessed. You're supposed to be a blessing.
Which is the only reason Abraham is able to trust enough to wake up that next morning and set off with Isaac to the place that God will show him. One step
for you to follow God in that situation.
Even in this early morning moment, we see Abraham's faithful following the same way that all following begins.
What does it look like for you to be a blessing
with the next step
in that situation?
We don't always or even often know all of the details or all of the reasons, but faithfulness is always displayed in this
Sodom and Gomorrah thus far.
In this step, in this next act.
A totally neutral party out there. Abraham knows who these people are. Four chapters
really, this
ago,
might be a larger part of the point
them.
Of this passage that we
and he didn't get much
sometimes
of any
miss.
Kind of thank you afterward.
We can actually
fact,
get at this
kind
in
of
some ways with a simple question. Why does
before
God
that,
have
we
Abraham
that they were
go
very
to
wicked
Moriah.
Sinners against the Lord? In the chapter just
I
after
mean, the
this
test
one,
is
we
easy
learned
enough.
That was a great
are you willing to sacrifice
outcry
your son
against
Isaac?
The city
why would
from
God
the
add a journey to that?
And Abraham lives close enough
why
that he,
is it,
I mean, they're standing there and they
if you're
can
asking
see Sodom,
someone to do
so
something terrible, isn't one place as good as the other?
Of their corruption, of their injustice,
Abraham,
of their evil.
I want you to offer Isaac right now.
This isn't exactly a community that you want to stick your neck out.
Why does he add? He adds a 3-day journey to this thing.
Which is why it's amazing.
Why does God do that?
But then Abraham intercedes.
Unless the journey's important.
That Abraham then fights for.
Could it be that God was still trying to teach Abraham how to follow? One step.
See how weird this is?
After another step.
This is one of those.
Could it be that God was still trying to show Abraham the importance of obedience?
No, they're terrible.
Yeah, no, you are.
Could it be that God was still trying to show
Abraham the cumulative effect of faith?
And I think he sleeps fine that night. I don't think there's any.
Or to say it another way,
I don't think there's any like. Well, maybe I.
Maybe we gain something in all of those little moments.
I don't think there's any guilt that Abraham's feeling.
Maybe we gain some momentum, as it were, of faithfulness.
Need help?
Which then helps us get through those harder parts.
But he doesn't.
Maybe God isn't calling you to do some crazy thing right now, but he's asking you to do the next step today.
And it is.
Because he's hoping to help you get some momentum going.
But I think this is much more a call to bless even those
we see a pattern of faithfulness over and over
again. Abraham isn't interceding for his friends.
Actually, we can see this in a different place in this passage.
Also,
kind of again dimly, but interestingly, young Isaac, in the only words he says in this passage, asks about what's missing. He sees the fire, he sees the wood, we're going on a journey, so he rightly concludes we must be going to worship, only something missing. Wait a second, where's the lamb?
Again, why else would
but you'll
God have
notice
come down
that conjecture is based on a pattern that Isaac has seen. There's a practice that this family
that point,
has done
God
over and over again, which then allows Isaac to recognize something's missing.
God could have just smote them. And then
you'll notice
Abraham
Isaac doesn't say, "Abraham, I forgot the marshmallows
still
and the chocolate. And
the,
did you bring those? That would have been a more logical conclusion that we're going to have a campfire somewhere.
But instead, God tells Abraham,
but something about
what God has intended
this."
In
motion.
Order to invite
we have a fire,
Abraham
we have a knife, we have wood,
on behalf of them.
And we're going somewhere, implies to Isaac,
process,
oh, we're going to worship. This is something we do.
No one cares.
This is something we always do. This is part of our family's regular practice.
To
one step
stranger
after another
and the
after
enemy.
Another.
God
Abraham trusts
Abraham
enough to follow.
To enter into all of it.
And he knows that God has said his heir will be Isaac.
Because apparently.
And so maybe God's going to do something extraordinary.
To be a blessing.
Maybe God will stop Abraham at some point. Maybe God will bring Isaac back from the dead.
Bless.
But either way, that's up to God.
Of course, we see this deeper.
It's my job to be faithful.
Grace
in this moment.
Over and over again.
In this step. And then in the next.
Maybe it's why God has blessed us.
Which brings us to the final piece of this puzzle, as we recognize that in order to bless,
so that we might bless others,
we have to trust God's provision.
Those who are easy to bless.
We have to recognize God's provision.
Those who are harder to bless.
We have to see all the different ways
that
God has blessed even us.
Because they're not for us.
And I think that Abraham has taken this lesson to heart, which is what allows this passage to even be possible.
How do we then?
Because everything that Abraham has and is has been a blessing from God.
Let's pray.
Remember, before God shows up, Abraham and Sarah are neither in their original home, nor are they in the place they're supposed to be. They've settled on an in-between place.
That you have done this for
us. Remember, before God shows up,
which is the only
Abraham and Sarah didn't and couldn't have kids. They just have their nephew Lot.
It's your blessing.
Remember, before God shows up, they seemingly have lost.
It's you who invite us in, even as we are unworthy.
Don't get me wrong; they're doing okay.
Even as we,
but they're not doing this well. Until God shows up.
Even as we were enemies, you died.
And God calls them to something hard, to leave their home and go somewhere else, which only makes things worse.
Because
now they're foreigners. Now they don't belong. Now they aren't a part of a people. Now they're strangers.
Even to the enemy.
In other words, now they have to rely on God even more.
For them.
Work. And then God starts to bless them.
Serve even.
And bless them. And bless them. And bless them.
Because it's what you do.
By the time we get to our passage, Abraham is overflowing with blessings.
In the strong name of Jesus.
But he could see that all of it has come from God, all of it was a gift from God. All of its blessing.
Which is why when God calls, Abraham simply responds, "Here I am." When God calls Abraham to go, Abraham starts walking. When God calls Abraham for some part of that blessing back, Abraham is willing. Because Abraham knows that all of it has always been only from God. So we're not surprised when his answer to his son Isaac is, "God will provide the lamb." Because that's always been Abraham's experience. God has always provided like that. And it's why Abraham doesn't seem very surprised when God stops him from doing the unimaginable and he looks up and he sees another offering just sitting there. Of course it is. Because God always provides. More than that, Abraham has come to realize that it's not just that his blessings all flow from God. I think he's finally learning to recognize that his greatest blessing is God. And interestingly, our passage ends where our story began many weeks ago. God will continue to bless Abraham. And Abraham, you are to continue being a blessing to everyone else. Abraham, you've been blessed to be a blessing. We've been blessed to be a blessing. Of course, as we come to the end of this story, you can't help but hear those reverberations forward through the pages of Scripture. To another father and another son. A son who was the child of a promise. A son who also at one point had to carry the wood of his own sacrifice on his back. A son who was sacrificed for love. Oh, and on the third day was brought back from the dead. To show that God's love for us knows no bounds, to show how far God is willing to go for us, to show what it looks like to be blessed and be a blessing. Let's pray. Lord God, this is a hard passage. It's hard for us to hear, it's hard for us to fathom, it's hard for us to understand what you could possibly be doing in something like this. And yet, we recognize that in many ways, this is your story. This is the story of Jesus, lived out for us. Lord God, we also pray that you would help us, that you would help us recognize your provision, that you would help us recognize the ways that you've blessed us. Lord, that you would help us be a people who are obedient, that we would continue to learn to follow you in this moment and the next, wherever that might lead. Lord, help us trust you more, even to the point where we're willing to let go. We thank you, God, that you are faithful. We thank you that you are good. We thank you for your love for us. And we thank you for your love for the world. We pray that you would continue to move us in Jesus' strong name. Amen.